Good morning. Some things are just too big for the packages people want to put them in. I have frequently found myself in that situation. Easter is like that. Sounds like it's a day, but it's too big to be a day. There's too much contemplation to finish in one day and one night, too much rejoicing to do in 24 hours. So Easter is expanded to an octave. It's an eight-day day. Liturgically, this is still Easter Day. It's why we sang the fancy Alleluia. That's why we'll sing other parts of the Mass that are normally read. That's why the preface says, on this Easter Day, starting tomorrow until Pentecost, it'll be in this Easter season. But still today, it's on this Easter Day. Easter overflows its banks and spreads out over a whole octave. Because it is the critical feast of our faith. It is the defining feast of our life. Unless you still follow sort of the old Greek ideas, which were still taught when I was a boy in catechism. We had gotten more Greek than Jewish. And we believed that human beings were composites made up of a body and a soul put together. The body was naturally mortal and would die. But the soul was naturally immortal and would live forever. Well, so resurrection is no big deal. Eternal life was something you were entitled to just by being born human with an immortal soul. Where you spent eternity and what you did, that might be important. But that you were eternal was a given. But that's not really the Jewish idea. The Jewish idea is that human beings are a single reality. With all the different words, body, mind, soul, heart, spirit, brain, whatever, that the Greeks have. But whereas for the Greeks, they're parts on an assembly line that get put together to make something called a human being. For the Jews, they're facets of a stone, different ways of looking at something that is already, in its essence, one single thing. A human being. And human beings are naturally mortal. We die. And by our nature, that's the end of us. It was only a couple of centuries before Christ that people began to dare hope in a resurrection. That God, in God's covenant fidelity, in God's absolute graciousness, would give us what we could not earn. Would do for us what we did not get naturally and raise us up. Jesus believed that. Jesus taught that. But there was still no evidence for it until his resurrection. When God raised Jesus from the dead, this is the definitive commitment of God to eternal life for human beings. The God who has raised up Jesus will raise us up as well. The covenant does not stop at the grave. This is a way of looking at human beings, isn't it, that's much more in line with contemporary science. We know that not only are we mortal, we are the most mortal of all beings. Every living thing will die. It's the essence of living things to die. It's not some outside punishment imposed upon us for sin, the way some of the ancients thought. It's who we are. We die. And we die more than everybody else. All other animals will die, but only we humans know that we will die. So that we spend our whole lives under the shadow of death. But the resurrection is the taking away of that cloud. The resurrection, the light of the risen Christ, is the promise of our immortality. This is God's faithfulness to the covenant. We've been talking about the covenant all through the Lenten season. We'll talk about it through the Easter season as well. Good Friday was Jesus' absolute demonstration of covenant faithfulness. He was faithful to his God even in the face of death. Easter Sunday is God's absolute demonstration of covenant faithfulness. God is faithful to Jesus even beyond death. What does that look like? We don't know. We can't imagine it. We know that God is beyond human ideas of space and time. But even my thinking, much less my imagination, is very much bound to space and time. So I can't get out of it. Happens in science. There are things in quantum mechanics I can prove, but I can't imagine. There are things in religion that I can believe, but I can't imagine. The resurrection is one of them. John, here today, as all the gospel writers do, stretches at that for us, tries to get us to realize what we're wrestling with. It is Jesus. He's very clear about that. It's not an apparition, a delusion, a hallucination, anything like that. It's not a ghost. It's not a spirit. It's Jesus. Bring your finger here, Thomas. Put it in my hand. Bring your hand, put it in my side. It's the real same Jesus who walked the earth. And yet, it's radically different. What God did for Jesus is not what Jesus had done for Lazarus just a few chapters ago, bringing him back to life on earth. Rather, Jesus is brought ahead to life with God, life outside of space and time, which is a radical transformation that we can't imagine. But John points to it. They're inside. The doors are locked. And that's not one of those little, you know, hasp things. In those days, that's a 2x4, you know. The doors are locked, and yet he's there. I can't do that. You can't do that. Jesus himself couldn't have done that before his crucifixion. Bodies don't do that. Not physical bodies. But as Paul says, what is buried is a physical body. What is raised up is a spiritual body. Now that's one of those contradictions in terms that is intended to blow your mind. What is a spiritual body? We don't know. But we know that it can be there, even though the doors are locked. And yet it is the same body with the same holes. That's just a hint. An obscure poetic description of what it is. But that's enough. It is life. It is life beyond the grave. It is life with God. And the glory of the feast, the reason we go on celebrating for 8 days, is that it tells us that what God has done for Jesus, God will do for you and for me. All of us are not immortal by our very nature. We are the most mortal of beings. But we are immortal by virtue of Jesus' death and resurrection, by virtue of the unbending, unswerving, unrelenting covenant fidelity of the God whom Jesus calls Abba. God did it for Jesus. God will do it for you. That's enough celebration to fill rather more than 8 days. The beginning of our participation in that celebration is the sacrament of baptism. And as is most fitting for this 8th Easter day, we have a young man to be baptized to share in Christ's death and in Christ's resurrection. That he who is to be baptized, his parents and godparents, please come forward.